How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined, as always, by Harrison Fagan. But even more special than that guy, we have Trevor Lane of... I heard that in the background, Harrison. We have Trevor Lane of Lakers Nation, new colleague of Harrison Fagan. How are you doing, Trevor?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on here. And yeah, hopefully everybody listened to part one over on the Lakers Nation podcast. I'm fired up, ready for part two right now.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. We just recorded a podcast on Trevor's podcast, the Lakers Nation podcast, where we talked about Brandon Ingram, we talked about Andrew Bogut, we talked about KCP's awful/amazing interview. Great stuff over there. Find all that on LakersNation.com. Find our show on Audioboom, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, and now Alexa. Couldn't afford Apple, so she named her daughter Alexa. Let's get into it, though. The two major storylines that are left over after the conversation that we just had on Trevor's podcast are Lonzo Ball and Brook Lopez. So we'll start with Lonzo Ball.
I want you guys to know we negotiated hard to get Lonzo Ball on this podcast. And by getting Lonzo Ball on this podcast, I mean just like talking about him on this one instead of Trevor's, which you should go listen to because that was a fun first half an hour of this.
Absolutely. So we'll start with Trevor. I'll give you the first word on Lonzo Ball. What was the number one thing that you kind of picked up on as he was giving his interviews, as other people were talking about him? What was the number one thing that you kind of saw as the theme that was hammered down about Lonzo and by extension these entire Lakers as he becomes the new face?
Well, I think the theme for the day was just excitement, and I think some of that does stem from Lonzo and just being excited to be on the floor with a guy that passes the ball like that. You could see that players were pretty excited to get the offense running and everything. But what I really noticed was how many times it came up that the pressure doesn't bother Lonzo. And I think that's something that's really critical, especially if he's going to be playing for the Los Angeles Lakers. We know that this is a team that is put under the microscope as the number two overall pick. Everybody is going to be picking apart every single thing that Lonzo does. And to this point, it seems like it just doesn't faze him. It doesn't seem to get to him one bit. And hopefully that stays that way, because that is that's something that will serve him very well playing in Los Angeles for the Lakers.
He's insanely polished, right, Harrison? It's astonishing to
me. It's almost scary.
Yeah.
I am at the point where I think if, like, you dropped off a Lamborghini filled with cash at Lonzo's house, like in front of Lonzo, and we're just like, here's this and a genie with three wishes. You could do whatever you want. He'd be like, okay.
It's funny to me because he'll do these interviews and the question will be incredibly thoughtful and insightful and thought-provoking. And he just four words, and he would... But he, not in a rude
way. He is the
way.
Most efficient question yeah. answerer. I'm going to channel my inner LeVar. Lonzo Ball is the most efficient question answerer in the NBA. Better than Steph, better than LeBron, better than anyone else you can name. Most efficient question answerer in the NBA.
Is there a title that we can give for that? Is there a stat? His answer PER.
Questions above replacement.
Like yes. I had somebody on in one of my responses I think it was on Twitter, or maybe this was on YouTube, and they used the phrase that Lonzo, what did they say? They said Lonzo speaks like he's texting.
Yes.
And I think that's kind of correct. I mean, he just, everything is just short and sweet and to the point. I'm pretty sure if like he could speak emoji, he probably would. And he's just, it's just the way he flies through these questions that's amazing. And he gives real answers, but it's almost like every single thing that you can throw at him, he has either already been prepared for, or just there are things that he's thought about on his own. And so he already knows how he's going to respond to it. And he does it in as few of words as possible. I mean, in my mind, he would be making Ron Swanson proud with the way that he answers questions.
The difference between him and Ingram last year, because there is a difference. Ingram was very quick in his answers a lot of the time too, but he had very much a template where he would just agree with the premise of the question and then like add a few words to pretty much whatever question you asked him. And Lonzo actually does seem to consider it very, very quickly, but he's been getting covered since he was like 14. And so he's heard some variation of basically any question you can ask him before. So you can see him calculate it really quickly, and then he gives the exact right answer every single time. He's an answer generator. He's a like press answer generator.
Yeah.
He gives you a totally usable quote that you can put in your story, and reporters are never going to have any problems with him because of it.
And I also think he does a good job of engaging the interviewer despite not using that many words, where he'll give you an
answer.
He
always makes eye contact.
Yeah, yes, he's just insanely mature. And look, I'm not going to rant and rave about this guy's interviewing skills, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter at all. He can be the world's greatest question answerer that there's ever been. If he can't produce on the basketball court, then he'll just keep answering those questions as well as he possibly can. But you know, maybe on ESPN or something as a college basketball analyst. In terms of what he brings to the basketball court, that was the major theme to me that ran throughout the day. Was aside from Magic Johnson, you know, Spectrum Sportsnet put together a really great and fun clip about his analysis and a bunch of the whistling and hooing and hawing about the different players that the Lakers will be able to throw on the court together this year. But I thought today the main theme that I caught in terms of Lonzo Ball was how excited everybody was to play with somebody as unselfish as he was. Trevor, who do you think will benefit the most from playing with Lonzo Ball and in his style of getting the ball up the court as quickly as possible in an open setting of basketball?
I think it's going to be the wings. I think guys like Brandon Ingram and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, as they leak out and they get down the floor, Lonzo loves to hit that outlet pass right along the sideline, just a few steps in front of the three-point line. He likes to target that area. So I think that guys like Ingram, guys like KCP, Jordan Clarkson, maybe even Corey Brewer, Luol Deng, those are the guys that are going to find themselves open more often than not to either pull up and take an early three, or perhaps just slash straight to the basket. We saw Vander Blue take advantage of that a little bit during summer league. So I think the way he gets the ball out so quick is going to definitely help out the guys who are able to really get down court. And you know, Magic Johnson even said that he thinks that Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball are going to be the new version of Magic Johnson and James Worthy. I mean, obviously that's setting the bar like ridiculously high, but still he thinks that they have that kind of potential. And so that's those are the guys that I think are going to really, really benefit. I think everybody on the floor is going to benefit to a degree, but it's those wing players that I think are going to really see a jump up in their production because they're sharing the floor with Lonzo.
That quote from Magic also led to James Worthy just quickly telling a story about after Magic Johnson retired, and it was my favorite quote from the entire day, where he said, basically, I thought I was pretty good until Magic retired, and I realized, oh my God, that guy made the game a lot easier for me. So shouts to James. He was incredible today. I that was the other thing, too, is this is the most excited I've seen James in the 5 years or so that he's been doing these media days for Spectrum.
Yeah, I just getting back away from that really quickly and back to the who Lonzo is going to benefit thing. I think that that's also why you saw, I agree with you, Trevor, and I think that that's also why you saw Ingram and KCP talking so much about how excited they were to play with each other, because I think that with all those long arms and that defensive versatility and that disruption, Lonzo seems to have a real knack for getting his hands on those loose balls once those deflections kind of get loose. And then, so they know as soon as they tip one of these balls, they just have to run and he's going to find them. They don't have to worry about going and tracking it down. They just need to get down to the other basket.
Speaking about, you know, loose balls and rebounding and getting up and down the court, on the last podcast, on part one on Lakers Nation, we talked about Julius Randle and the way he looks and how shredded he is, and looking forward and looking ahead to the type of way that he might be able to impact this team. But one of the questions that was given to him was, you enjoy getting the ball off of the glass and dribbling the ball down the court. How do you think that'll mesh with Lonzo Ball style, where, look, there is nobody more efficient on the Lakers that we know of as it stands right now at getting the ball down the court into the right player's hands? Trevor, how do you think Lonzo Ball and Julius Randle will be able to handle that dynamic?
I think it's going to be just fine. I mean, obviously Summer League isn't always the best reference just because it's Summer League. It's kind of its own animal. But if you look at the way that Kyle Kuzma and Lonzo Ball got along out there, I think that's ideally what you want to see out of Randle and Lonzo, that if the rebound is going to Lonzo, then you see Randle getting out and running, like the way we saw Kuzma getting out and running, and then Lonzo is hitting him for those touchdown passes. Because we do know from a few years here of experience watching Julius Randle that in terms of straight line speed, he is very, very quick. He's probably faster than most of the guys that he's going up against. So if he gets used to that and understands that if the rebound is not going to him, he needs to really rim run and he's going to get some easy buckets out of it, then we could see that kind of connection there as well. And I think we saw the same thing from Kyle Kuzma. He had some opportunities to push the ball up the floor a little bit to handle and still pass and everything. You know, the thing about Lonzo is that as much as everybody looks to him to kind of run the show, he keeps the ball in his hands for a very limited amount of time. I mean, it's just a, you know, a second, 2 seconds at the very most before he whips that ball around to somebody else. So I'm not too worried about there being enough touches or Randle getting enough opportunities to push the ball up the floor himself. Lonzo is just the most unselfish player I think I've ever seen. So I don't think that's going to be an issue at all.
Harrison, would you agree?
Yeah, no, I don't think – I think it's going to be fine. I think that they're going to – the whole goal and the big theme of the day was Magic and Pelinka and Luke were talking about how they all were very on their talking points about a lot of things. But one of them was that they don't want Lonzo to be the only guy pushing the pace. They want all of the – they said that they talked mostly about the backup guards, that they want them to continue pushing pace and things like that even when Lonzo isn't in. But I don't see why the same thing doesn't apply to Randle, and I think it will. We saw Luke last year give him the power that when he got a rebound, he was allowed to go. He was allowed to take – he was supposed to take off, and he was supposed to take it coast to coast. And so that kind of stuff, is that getting into the Lakers offense quickly, is why they're going to be a lot more fun to watch this year, and why they're probably going to be a lot better offensively this year than they were last year, because we saw that a little bit with the bench, where we saw how much that speed could kill when they were just, they basically succeeded just on quick decision making. And if that starts to transfer to the starters, then I don't see why it wouldn't help them a lot.
Yeah, I completely agree with both of you guys. And the largest factor, Trevor, you hit on it, you touched on it a bit, is Lonzo's unselfishness. Like, at the end of the day, I think he the reason
he's like,
I
if
think,
7 seconds or less was a player.
Yeah, no,
it would,
I mean,
be Lonzo Ball.
Magic kind of talked about this a little bit, where when Lonzo was in Vegas, a lot of the younger players that were out there with him just kind of flocked to him because of his unselfish nature, whatever, if it's a persona or anything like that, that's just kind of intangible that players seem to really enjoy being around. He and then he said it extended it into when he was playing with the veterans, and the veterans really enjoyed playing with him because he was getting them great, easy looks. And I think for Lonzo, based off of the things that he said and then based off of the way he played in Vegas, it was, look, I don't care what it takes to get the ball down the court or to be successful as a team, no matter what it takes, whether it's me pushing the ball or whether it's Randle pushing the ball or whoever, all that matters to me is that we play the right way. And that was something that really extended throughout all of the interviews today. Luke hit it, Magic hit it, Pelinka hit it with one of his half-hour-long stories about Bill Burka and his 50 years of experience, whatever it
he
was.
He has told that I'm worried how much he is telling that Bill Burka story. Either that's just very much a talking point, or Bill Burka has walked into Palinka's office like 900 times this summer and just continues to tell him that this is the hardest working young group he's seen.
I picture Burka catching Palinka after every single interview. Hey, did you make sure you mentioned that what I said about the kids and how hard they're working?
They're working so hard. Have you seen them?
Trevor, the other thing that I seemed to notice as the day went along was how much it looks like the Lakers are going to be leaning on newly acquired Brook Lopez, not just in terms of his offensive skill set, which is obviously on par with any center in the league, but a lot of them alluded to what he can do on the defensive end as well. Do you think Brook Lopez can kind of step in and impact the team in ways that people might have overlooked because of the way he arrived?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the defensive, you know, the defensive side of the ball with Brook Lopez is certainly something that's worth discussing. I wouldn't call him a great defensive center because he is kind of one of the old school, like, lumbering big centers. He's not that guy he's not the Draymond Green style center who's maybe a little bit undersized, but it has the ability to switch on everything and can really get out and contest on guys. He's not going to do that kind of thing. He's going to have trouble keeping guys in front of him in the pick and roll, but he is really, really long. He does a pretty good job of challenging at the rim. And I think the bottom line is that the Lakers will be better in terms of interior defense with Brook Lopez because he's taking the place of Timofey Mozgov, who really struggled, and before him, Roy Hibbert. So we've had now 2 years of just poor interior defense to now we're going to go to hopefully like okay interior defense. I mean, Brook Lopez is not really known for his defensive skill, but he's still a step up from what they had previously. And so I think in that way, yeah, the Lakers will be a little bit better defensively with Brook Lopez in there. So that's certainly worth mentioning. I think the other big thing that he brings, of course, is his ability to stretch the floor on offense. And I'm sure this is something we're going to get into, but I think there's a number of guys who are going to benefit from that, in particular Julius Randle. I think that's going to open up a ton for him, and I think that's going to be something to really watch, is what Brook Lopez means for some of the other players on the team offensively as well as the way he can cover for them defensively.
Yeah, the reason I brought up the way he arrived is because, like, I'm as guilty as anybody, because when the
guiltier, I would say,
yeah, more guilty. I completely agree that when the D'Angelo Russell trade went through, I didn't look at Brook Lopez the player so much as I looked at him as the return for, I still believe, the Lakers' best young player. And with that being the case, today was the first time that I actually kind of looked at Brook Lopez the player, Brook Lopez the person, and Brook Lopez the person is delightful. He was great today. So Harrison,
oh yeah.
Well, Harrison, how long would you say it'll take for people who think like me, right, and thought of Brook Lopez as the return and not necessarily the player? How long do you think it will take people who think like me to come around on Brook Lopez as somebody who really at this point is a little bit underrated?
I think they're going to come around on that relatively quickly. I don't know that it's going to make them change their mind about the D'Angelo Russell deal. But the thing that you have to keep in mind is that Brook Lopez is almost getting kind of the NBA version of drunk goggles as the benefit, like, coming in, because what came before him looked so bad that his flaws are going to be hardly noticeable. And so he's just going to look so much better than Mozgov and Roy Hibbert that just by that, he's going to endear himself. And then not to mention that, like you said, the charisma that he has. He crashed Larry Nance Jr.'s Spectrum interview to congratulate him for dunking on him so hard.
This is like, incredible.
This is a guy who says that he showed restraint by going to Disneyland only 6 times since he moved to Orange County. Like, he's just a giant overgrown kid, And he's funny, he's affable, and then not to mention he's a really talented basketball player. And while he may not be the perfect player for the modern game just because kind of the lack of foot speed, he's never going to be like this super switchy, you can like, you know, corral pick and rolls type of guy. But the way that he spaces the floor, the way that he can pass, he's going to help the Lakers a lot in a lot of different ways. He's not perfect, but he's also not Mozgov and Hibbert, which is a very low bar to clear.
Definitely. And, you know, see, like I have always, you know, from day one, I've been looking at this as Brook Lopez, the basketball player. I haven't really seen him as Brook Lopez, the contract. I've been that guy that's been saying since the trade that, I mean, hey, Brook Lopez is a damn good basketball player.
So you're the anti-Anthony.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't something that even really crossed my mind that he's just an expiring contract or anything, because I know this is a very good player. He's very passionate about the Lakers, and I think that helps too. And yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot to like about this guy, and he's going to wind up endearing himself to a lot of fans. So, I mean, hey, you know what? I think if you look at last season objectively, you look at any sort of advanced stats or anything like that, Brook Lopez last year was a better basketball player than D'Angelo Russell. And I don't think there's any way to debate that. Will that be the case this year? We don't know. Into the future, how long will that last? Again, we don't know. But for the time being, I think the Lakers got themselves a really good player that hopefully can stay healthy for the remainder of the year.
Anthony will argue that with his heart, Trevor.
I can't wait for the first time Brook Lopez gets into a fight with a mascot. Like, I want to see how Lakers Twitter, not the people that are parts
I'm
of.
I'm pretty
Lakers
sure that's Twitter. Robin, but
yeah,
that.
Isn't that Robin Lopez?
Is it Robin?
The mascots?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought they both did it. Oh, never mind.
No, I mean, I think they teamed up one time, but I'm pretty sure that's Robin's thing.
Oh well, Brooke, fight a mascot anyway. Why not? The other thing that I wanted.
You want him to fight LeVar Ball?
Oh, goodness. that would make me come around completely. All right, the last theme here before, and Harrison, you wanted to finish up with a couple 50 Shades of Shade.
The return of a listener favorite game. We actually have quotes to use for 50 Shades of Shade.
Yeah,
it's been a long time.
I'm looking forward to it. And Trevor, this will be your first time playing 50 Shades of Shade, so I'm looking forward to your response to it too. But the last thing I kind of wanted to touch on before we get to that is the Lakers seem to, across the entire roster of guys who are returning from last year heading into this year, seem to take offense to how bad they were defensively last year. Larry Nance Jr. said it legitimately annoys him, and it really sticks with him how bad at defense they were last year. And you kind of look at the guys that they added. We already talked about what Brook Lopez may be able to add defensively. That's not really where he'll make his name, but Bogut was somebody who James Worthy called nasty. KCP, Magic said, is going to be guarding the best perimeter player night in, night out. Brandon Ingram talked about some of the defensive struggles from last year to and heading into next year. And you just kind of go on down the line from there. But Trevor, is this something that the Lakers can fix with just wanting it more? Or do you think they actually have the tools to legitimately improve on that side of the ball? Because those are two very different questions.
Yeah, I mean, it's the type of thing where I think they improve, although the question is how much, because when you're last, I mean, they're the only way to go is up, right? I mean, they're bound to improve somewhat, even if just by accident. I mean, they were so bad defensively last year. They've got to get better just by having better defensive personnel. Yes, the wanting it thing is a factor, I think, because I think that's something where in training camp and when Luke Walton is talking about defense and they're talking about their schemes and everything like that, I think guys are going to be a bit more bought in. Not saying they weren't bought into it last season or they weren't all on board with it last season, but I think knowing that this is going to be a major focus this year and knowing how much it eats away at them that they were so bad last year, I think that's going to make them be really laser focused on it. And defense is one of those things where if you have to have all five guys working in concert. If you have one guy slip up a little bit, even in the NBA, missing a play by a fraction of an inch, making the wrong read with by a millisecond, can be the difference between getting a stop and giving up a basket. And I think that kind of focus is going to allow them to play better defensively and allow them to really utilize their personnel a little bit better, so that they can take advantage of having guys like KCP, hopefully a better year from Brandon Ingram defensively, and Brook Lopez and all these other guys that that can help them out with getting stops. So kind of a roundabout way to answer that question. I think it's really both. You know, I think that we are going to see individual growth from all the players that's going to help them to become better defensively as a team, and that it's that passion that's going to really kind of drive their growth defensively. It's going to allow them to lock in and hopefully keep that intensity all game, because the NBA is really unforgiving for any time that you try to fit a defensive scheme in and then somebody kind of falls asleep on you. So that's kind of the way I see it anyway.
Harrison, for me, another way to look at it as well is, look, at the end of the day, the Lakers, the two things that they talked about in terms of improvements from last year to next is defense, and that they want to play faster. And the carrot here, after being successful on defense, is that it enables them to get out and run faster. But, you know, if they don't play defense, that really affects what they want to do on offense. Do you think the Lakers can make a large enough improvement on the defensive side of the ball to be able to enable the way they want to play on the offensive side?
Yeah, because they were able to get out and run quite a bit last year, despite being the worst defensive team, literally the worst defensive team in the league and the worst defensive team in Lakers franchise history. And they were still able to get out and push pace sometimes last year. And so I think that just almost by accident of just having better defenders on their team, that they will get more stops and be able to continue to play that fast-paced style. And so, I mean, you just look up and down the starting lineup. Like, I don't know that Lonzo Ball's for sure going to be a better defender than D'Angelo Russell, but it's probably at the very least a wash. And you got KCP, who's clearly an upgrade. You have Brandon Ingram, who I don't know if he'll be an upgrade. I mean, Dang just looked like, when he was defending wings last year, it looked like he had cement blocks on his feet. Mm-hmm. And so I think Ingram might be an upgrade there, even though it's only his second year, so that might sound blasphemous. In shape, Julius Randle is probably an upgrade over out of shape Julius Randle on defense. And Lopez is probably slightly better than what Mozgov showed, just because his skill set's like maybe a little bit better fit for this team. And so I think that they're just going to get a couple more stops just with extra experience and having a better fitting roster, and that will be able to fuel that offense that they're looking for.
So you guys heard it first. Harrison thinks they're going to make the playoffs this year. So that's
no, exciting. That's 100% not what I said.
speaking of the expectations or lack thereof, if you heard it from Magic and if you heard it from Pelinka, they were pretty reluctant to talk about actual wins and losses, which kind of flies in the face of the way they've been talking about individuals since their arrival, since Magic and Rob's arrival in Los Angeles. Do you think that was a concerted effort, Harrison, or do you think it's just something where, you know, they just kind of walked in and they said it doesn't serve anybody any good if we put a concrete number of wins down for it?
That very much seemed like a concerted, you know, talking points effort from them to just continue to say, we're going to be fun, we just want to see growth, that kind of stuff. All the stuff that fans have been looking to hear about from the franchise for like the last 3 years. And I guess why this year they decided to finally do that, I don't know. I guess new coaching staff, new regime, just different way that they want to talk about and set expectations. But yeah, I think that it definitely came off as a concerted effort from them. I don't know how you felt about it, Trevor.
Yeah, I mean, I think not only was it a concerted effort, I think it was the right move. I think it was the thing that needs to be said. I mean, that should be the message right now. This is a team that already has tons of expectations on them, because everybody thinks that Lonzo Ball is going to be this savior that's going to completely turn around the franchise, and they're expecting big things out of him. I think it takes the general manager and the president of basketball operations kind of pumping the brakes a little bit and just trying to, you know, back off of that just a bit, because this is still a very, very young team. And you don't want people getting down on them. You want to keep their focus on what really matters. And that's, is the team growing? Not so much are they winning every single game, or are they in the playoffs or not? Because right now, that's not really the big concern for them. The question is, are they getting better, and are they a fun team? What's the perception of them? Are they looked at as a team that is one or two pieces away from really being something? Because, wow, Lonzo Ball looks great. Wow, Brandon Ingram looks great. Wow, these guys are really going to be a problem someday. If that's the way the narrative is going, then that's a team that can attract some top-level free agents next year, because they're going to look at LA and think, man, I could be that piece that really pushes this team to the next level. And I think that's more the focus, rather than, hey, we're going to win 30 games, or we're going to win 35 games, or we're going to make the playoffs, or what have you.
Can we get you in that pitch meeting?
Yeah, sure. I think I can clear my schedule a little bit.
I liked it. It was a nice breath of fresh air. The reality of the situation hasn't been something that they've ever really, especially at the end of Kobe's career, right, where it was a bad team that he would be playing on, and you'd still have talk of playoffs, and you just knew that that wasn't going to sit well as the year went along, and you know, you knew they weren't going to be in the playoffs, and yet you still had that narrative going around. And whether it was Kobe's force of character on that kind of situation or whatever, it just never ended particularly well. And it's good to see that as an organization, they're kind of, like you said, Trevor, pumping the brakes and reminding everybody, yes, this is a young team in an excruciatingly tough Western Conference, that number of wins don't matter. It's on night-by-night basis. Do you feel like these guys are actually getting better? Are you having fun watching this Lakers team? And look, if you look at the roster and you know, if you think you can build from what we saw in Las Vegas, it does look like a team that people are going to enjoy watching on a nightly basis as they continue to grow together. I'm excited for this season, so we'll see where it goes. All right, Harrison.
That's never backfired on us before.
Ever. No, it's it's always worked out.
Literally
well,
only see every season that we've done this podcast.
One day I'll stop myself from saying that kind of thing. Harrison, you said you had the 50 Shades of Shade. Let's bring it back. Do we have any cool music for it yet, or?
No, because I'm not good at my job, so we don't have any cool music for it. But like, I guess eventually we'll get like the 50 Shades theme song, I don't know, in there or something. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so to explain this game to Trevor and to our new listeners we've picked up since we last played. Thank you for listening, by the way. Basically, the game is that we take a kind of statement and we judge how much shade this person is throwing at the target of this possible shade on a scale of 1 to 50. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yeah, I think so. Simple enough.
Okay, so this quote. So first up, we got three quotes. First up is this one from Magic, where he says, "Foul trouble won't matter except with Lonzo. Everywhere else, we have a lot of guys behind them." Now, I'm putting that as about a 50 at Tyler Ennis. That's almost like a why did we sign this guy type level of shade, but I don't know how you guys feel about that one.
I'll let you go, Trevor.
All right. Yeah, I mean, that does seem like quite a shot at Tyler Ennis, although I almost wonder if you know, Jordan Clarkson catches a little bit of that shade too, because we know the Lakers have used him as a backup point guard as well. But yeah, I mean, Magic basically saying that there's nobody behind Lonzo Ball. Yeah, I think I agree with you, Harrison. I think I got to go with a big 50 on that one.
It's as much shade as Magic Johnson is capable of throwing without outright saying our backup point guards suck.
Well, actually, speaking of as much shade as Magic Johnson is capable of throwing, we have another quote from Magic on Lonzo Ball, and he said, "We needed a leader and we have one." So ouch. I can't help but feel like that was a little bit of shade. It feels like maybe unintentional or not. I don't know. This feels very similar to the shade that we got earlier this summer about a certain D'Angelo Russell who was on his way out of town. I'm going to put this one at about a 35 because I'm honestly of the belief that Magic may not realize that his words are going to be twisted like this.
Yeah, see, I think I'd go down even a little bit lower than a 35. I'll go 25 on that, just because we have kind of heard this before. Magic has said worse about D'Angelo Russell, and not, you know, he kind of says things that are not necessarily complimentary, but But they're not the worst things ever. He's not particularly calling D'Angelo Russell a bad guy or anything like that, but he does question his leadership, and he's kind of alluding to that here, but it's not as blatant, so I'll go 25 with it.
I'll split the difference a little bit. Harrison, you said 35.
I thought you were going to go 50 just because you were going to get mad again. I was really hoping to trigger you.
I could. I'm sure the longer I'll talk, it'll go from 30 to 35 to 40 to 45 to 50.
It's driving to Magic's house.
Asking him to meet me in Temecula. Like all those good things that normal people obviously do at any given point. But I think because we've heard it before, it kind of comes off as a little bit more than I would go with the 25. But I think it's more shade than it isn't, because we have heard it before, and it's this narrative that Magic has kind of fallen back on when talking about the guys who are no longer there. I think it's definitely a 50 out of 50 shade towards Timofey Mozgov. Then. but no, I it's tough. I'll stick with 30. That's my final answer, but by the end of the podcast I'll talk myself into a 50.
I'm shocked I went higher than you on that one. Okay, so we have one more here, and this is actually this is not Lakers related shade. This is a first, I think, that we're doing non-Lakers related shade, but it is Lakers, I guess, like adjacent, because it's Paul George, and it's him completely murdering and burying the Indiana Pacers franchise, or at least their like front office organization. And so this was like, tell me that I'm off here. This feels like a 70 out of 50 as far as like just shade throwing, because it's not direct. He doesn't name anyone by name, but here's the quote when he's talking about the Pacer or the Thunder and what they've been able to do this offseason. He says, "I'm really excited. It just goes to show how a small market can stay aggressive in the trade place and can really do whatever it needs to do for the player's sake to get them the best chance to win. It's pretty impressive that Oklahoma now has three superstars and gave this state a legitimate chance to win a championship. The most beautiful thing about that is that this organization lets all their players know what's going on. There's nothing under the table. There's nothing hidden since I've been here so far. So I was aware of what's going on. I was extremely happy." And then he goes on to talk a little bit more, and then he just says, "It just goes to show what's possible with different organizations."
Yeah, it's 100.
So tamper that, Larry Bird.
Okay. So, I mean, I hadn't heard that.
That's from Sam Amick's excellent one-on-one interview with Paul George. I should give him some accreditation.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I think it's going to be like a year before Pawnee sees the sun after that one. That's I mean, whatever you're going to do here, I mean, that's more than 50, definitely. I mean, that's shots fired right at the Pacers. And yeah, I mean, I guess we understand where they're coming from and everything. I mean, Paul George, you know, he wanted to come to the Lakers, and that perhaps there was a little bit of pettiness going on here by the Pacers deciding to trade him to the Oklahoma City Thunder instead, and especially the return they got for him was hilariously bad. But yes, Paul George is throwing just tons and tons and tons of shade directly at Indiana with that comment, no question.
I read that and I was laughing out loud as I was reading it. And it's just like, it's just placed in there. It's just like kind of a normal quote to close it. Like there's no setup about like, you know, really like the Pacers and what I mean, he just killed them.
Yeah. I can't think of what is the most shade that he threw there. Right. Because he keeps topping himself. He brings up the small market stuff. And then he basically makes it sound like Indiana was keeping stuff from him.
There's nothing under the table. There's nothing hidden since I've been here so far. Like, that's holy crap.
I want to know if there was a follow-up question about, wait, what was kept from you at Indiana?
A championship, or like competent teammates, or a well-run franchise.
The best teammate I had was Roy Hibbert before he became terrible.
Oh, that's sad but true.
Yeah. I would say, yeah, that's 100. That's off the charts. Like, you can't even grade it.
He broke the 50 Shades of Shade meter on that one. So that's all I got for 50 Shades of Shade. We've already went longer than we actually planned to, but I guess that's what we do when we're having fun and we're doing podcast crossovers and breaking down walls and, you know, uniting Lakers Twitter together.